up, people? What's going on? Throw down your questions. I am your host, Emilio Lopez, and I am joined by Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
All right. And Mr. Richard Bailey Jr.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
And Mr. Brian Manjoma.
How on earth do you mess up a flag?
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
Do you not have Google or something?
We'll talk about that. That was pretty interesting.
Hey, well, you know, maybe it's not a Puerto Rican flag because, you know, multiple countries have that same similar design. So, anyway.
We'll talk about it, but yeah, I got thoughts.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, you may notice there's a few folks missing this time around. And, Tony's out there flying the friendly skies, or he's going to be. We can't actually talk about where he's going to be, but he'll be able to talk about that later. So, yeah, he's going to be gone for this episode of Throw Down Your Questions and the following episode. But you know us, man. We hold it down. We got our folks here. We got RBJ here. So we're going to be doing it.
Oh, yeah.
I can't do the button forward to tonight's show. Yeah. So, let's get things started. We have, Carlos is going to be doing the questions.
Let's start with an interesting character here. His name is Eurocar 9. And
I find it very interesting that Mr. Eurocar 9 managed to get all the way up at the top.
You know, there's some privileges that goes around sometimes. He's definitely for the OGs.
He's definitely a very special character.
So his question for those who've played Spider-Man 2, is this the buggiest Insomniac game you've ever played?
Ooh.
And it's an interesting question. Out of the four of us in this chat, I think it's only me and Rich who have played it, right? I know, Manny, you have the game.
I have the game, but I can't actually play it because there's no PlayStation. like you see on Crawler's screen there, so I'm waiting for the Slim. So I don't know when that's coming. Probably November at some point. We'll see.
So here's the thing. I'll go first, Rich, because this is pretty interesting. Because you and me have different experiences, and we'll go over why the potentially differences between your gameplay and my gameplay are. I've played the game for an estimated 10 or so hours, Yeah, I have to agree with Mr. Eurocar 9. I think this is the buggiest Insomniac game I played, at least at least out of the Spider-Man games. I've gotten game crashes. I got this weird bug where I was fighting like a horde of enemies and I couldn't complete it because one of the enemies I couldn't hit. I couldn't hit him. Like he could hit me. He's like, he's hitting me, but I try to shoot my webs at him. I try to swing. I try to do all my specials. Nothing. It was the weirdest thing. But I let him kill me because I couldn't do anything. But yeah, it's interesting because, you know, Insomniac, for me, every time I play their games, they're probably some of the most polished games that I played from a AAA developer in more recent times. Just talking about Ratchet and Clank and Spider-Man and Spider-Man Miles Morales. This one, I don't know, you know, what happened. But there's something, you know, that they might have rushed this just a little bit. I mean, I'm not saying this is unplayable. By no means am I saying this is unplayable. But the bugs do stand out compared to the other one. You know, I'm coming from Starfield, so it's not as bad. And Cyberpunk. So both of those games are even more guilty, so it doesn't feel as bad. But yeah, it's pretty, you know, it's noticeable. J-Ship asks, on a scale of 1 to 10, how buggy is it? I'll give it a five. It's not the buggiest game.
It's an Insomniac game. What does that mean?
Let me go ahead and go next to you, Carlos. You said we both have a difference of opinion on this. Let me go ahead and say this. I did review the game on the website, thecoalition.com. I had access to the game about 2.5 weeks earlier. Mm-hmm. And at that point, there were no patches that they allowed us to, that they sent to us to download. So I didn't really encounter any issues. I didn't do anything with the settings, because when you start the game, you can adjust the settings at the very beginning. That's the first thing you can do when you start the game. I didn't adjust any of that because, to me, I already knew it was where I wanted it to be. I didn't play around with the settings because, you know, that's Digital Foundry's job, not my job. I'm there to play the game, review it, see how it pretty much is. So I had played the game and completed it, and I actually got the Platinum Trophy right before, like a day or so before they released this day one patch. So I haven't had a chance to go back to the game and see a lot of the issues that people are encountering. I do want to say this, though. I have noticed online that there's a story around these bugs, because a lot of people are using this to say the game is horrible. And I've seen a lot of posts on Twitter. I know our very good friend Tony Polanco also was talking about this on Twitter. So I look forward to seeing what he says when he returns to the show, because I just think that's ridiculous, because it's like the bugs that have happened. I don't know how many bugs you've encountered, Carlos, so I can't really say. I would be curious to know, people listening to this show, how many bugs y'all have encountered. But I didn't encounter any. But I don't think it's as severe as people are making it out to be. But then again, I don't know, because certain situations might be different for somebody else. But I didn't encounter any bugs in my playthrough.
And this could potentially be because of the day one patch that we got. Yes. when the game released. Something might have been thrown to whack, because I have been seeing the contrast between the reviewers and the people playing. There have been some videos of bugs reported, but there's also, you know, there's also the, like you mentioned, there's the propaganda where it's, you know, people saying, oh, you know, this game, yeah, you know, Starfield, you're making fun of Starfield, you're making fun of Cyberpunk and all that stuff. Look at this. So, you know, there's that end as well. Barry Burton mentioned something. He says, zero bugs, all arachnids.
That's funny.
And then Jay Shep asked, do you guys recall reviewers mentioning the bugs? Because he says he hasn't. And I haven't either. I read Rich's review. I read the Tom's Guide review and Tony's thoughts, obviously, when he talked about the game. And kind of funny as well. Oh, go ahead, Rich.
And one thing I wanted to say to piggyback onto that. Yeah, I don't know any reviewers that encountered any issues. I did see that today, the guy over at Digital Foundry, somebody came after him because they were saying, well, are you going to make a video addressing the bugs? And he's saying the stuff that that people are talking about, they're not severe, at least. But again, a lot of these people had access to the game before that day one patch. So this is why you're seeing a lot of people saying, hey, no. But I understand why people could hear that and think people were lying in the review. I'm here to tell you, they're not lying. There were no issues with the game before these patches. But obviously, with the patches, it definitely changed some stuff. I don't know exactly what it changed, because I haven't really been doing any research as to... I know there's a lot of different isolated things. I know with Adam, he mentioned that his son in the game, Peter Parker, is talking to somebody, and there's no model there whatsoever. Yeah. So stuff like that is that sounds pretty severe, you know, but I haven't encountered any of that. So
It's interesting because like at least for me, I've like on the original Spider-Man game, I did have some weird issues, like, you know, like Spider-Man PS4. Like there was one point, I think I posted shots of it where you know, like it was a thing that happened in what's up, Chris? So yeah, there was a thing that I that happened where it was like everything, it was like the first appearance of like you find out Kingpin's involved, and he's in this like underground like place, and he's talking to Kingpin. Kingpin wasn't like was all red, and like the whole room was all out of whack. And I had something similar happen in Miles Morales too, where everybody got real shiny. Just like so, but the thing about it is that like these things sort of happened after like hours and hours of play. Like I'd been playing for a long time, and then all of a sudden these crazy ass bugs just started showing up. So I mean, I just figured like, oh, you know, maybe it's just, you know, just having the game on for so long did it. Who knows?
I had a similar experience. I had Spider-Man turned into a little white cube. so there, I guess there's like a placeholder for the character, like where he's supposed to be standing, right?
Yeah.
So the model disappeared, and there was just this white cube. I'm swinging around the city. This white cube is just swinging around, and then I got into a fight. I recorded this too. I was like, everything went wonky, and then it got worse because when I quit the game and I went to the main menu, Spider-Man had no body. It was just there was just a head floating around. It was weird.
You know, that was there was also a glitch very similar to that in the original one, where you remember people were like swinging around as like what is it, those like light poles or boxes, like sometimes it would randomly get mixed up and think that you're something else, so you'd be like a weird thing just floating around. So a lot of these, like, oddly to say, they're the a lot of these glitches that people seem to be experiencing seem to be sort of common with the previous Spider-Man games, because I've had those same issues too. In fact, there was a huge glitch on Miles Morales, which is kind of a good thing though, where you could, if you pressed the buttons a certain way, you could get original Spider-Man. You could get like him instead of Miles Morales, but he was slightly broken because he doesn't have all of Miles's moves.
Well, one of the glitches that I got in this new game is not a bad glitch. It's actually kind of funny. So I'm swinging around, but my webs are still tied to my hand and to the last building that I swung on. So as I keep swinging, the webs are still like going on, which is pretty funny.
So you just had a thousand webs off of Spider-Man's hands.
Well, it was just the two. It was just the two and the new web that he uses for the new buildings. But the two from the original buildings are still stuck in his hands and like building this huge long trail of web. It's pretty hilarious. But yeah, hey, Chris, a question for you. Have you been playing the Spider-Mans?
Yeah, like I said, I was doing because I wanted to level up, so I was just doing random, like stopping random crimes, and that's when I ran into the cube problem. Like I switched the suits, like I bought a suit and I switched Miles and Spider-Man to their new suits, and then they just turned into cubes. And then I couldn't see the suit, and even when you went to the suit menu, none of them would load. Like it got really weird, and so that's how I ran into that. But yeah, I'm maybe more than a third through the game, I think. I don't want to spoil anything. I don't know what I can say, you know. Although I did a mission involving pigeons, and I went right through a building and got stuck, and I had to start it over again. Oh. Like I was flying so fast, I was flying through the rings, and then I was like, oh shit, the pointer moved, so I turned and I flew into this building, and Spider-Man just got completely stuck in the game, wigged out. I'm like, oh crap.
I think I know what mission you're talking about. Me and Rich were talking about this earlier. It's the Howard mission, right?
Yes. Yeah, guiding the pigeons.
Yeah.
There's
a pigeon guy. All these games have pigeon guys. But yeah, that's a pretty good one. I went through the coast, like through the river portion, so I didn't have the chance to get stuck on a building, but yeah, it's interesting.
Yo, man, yeah, you moving too fast. Yo, man, you moving too fast for that game.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, because I wanted to get the pigeons to wherever they were going in Queens. I was like, all right, I'll just ride the current. And I see the point there over there, and I slammed into a building, and he went right through the building.
Yo, Chris.
That was it. Like, yo, I could get out of the building.
Yo, Chris, this is Mark Cerny getting back at you. He's like, motherfucker, you said we couldn't go that fast in this game?
Yeah, I didn't want to break the world either. I find it funny if you go into subway stations, Spider-Man just jumps out of them. You no longer can ride the subway. I'm a little sad.
Oh yeah.
Fast travel's now just plain fast travel. Like you just appear in the wherever you fast travel to. I'm like, but I wanted to ride the subway. I can't ride the subway.
You will only see like 2 seconds of the subway though. Like, you know, like if they had to, you know, they had a little cinematic.
Yeah, I thought that was neat. I mean, why take it out? Just
by the way, since we mentioned it at the start of the show, let's talk about Flaggate.
Yep.
Uh-oh.
I think it's interesting because the thing is, Miles Morales is Puerto Rican, famously Puerto Rican in this game, in the franchise, and his apartment had a Cuban flag. The Puerto Rican flag and the Cuban flag are pretty similar.
They're almost really exactly similar, the same. They're exactly the same.
Yeah, different colorways.
Yeah, different colorways.
The mistake is pretty honest, but it's like the only way to get the wrong flag is if you search Cuban flag instead of Puerto Rican flag in Google.
Yeah.
So I wonder if someone was like,
maybe a Cuban member of the environment team said, like, I'm going to sneak this in there. Nobody's going to notice this shit. Cuba.
I just want to I do want to make a comment about that. So let me say right now that that is an oversight by all of the reviewers, myself included, because I was not, you know, I didn't spend a lot of time in Miles' apartment. That is a very, you know, way at, you know, at his home. That's not something that lasts for a long time. So I didn't have a chance to notice it. But it definitely is something that they should have addressed, because they know a lot of people are going to see that and they're going to be observing these types of things. So, yeah, there's no excuse for it. I know they are going to fix it. I know Danny over at Game Attack Radio, he's the one that put out a tweet earlier saying, talking about this stuff. And they did say they are going to address it. So maybe that will be fixed in a future patch.
Whoops.
Going to deduct a point from my review score.
Yeah. I mean,
yes.
One thing I would have to say is, like, I know, like, a lot of the seeing the phrases of the representation of in that game, but I feel like it's like Disneyland representation, where like every single building has a Puerto Rican flag or something weird like that. I'm like, yeah, I don't know about that.
It's a small world type representation.
Yeah, like it's like Disneyland. Like if Walt Disney was going to make New York Spanish Harlem, it would pretty much look like this. It would be like, you know, flags and everything, you know Puerto Rican and Dominican flags and Mexican flags all over the place. People salsa dancing in the streets, and you know. Only one bodega for some friggin' reason. I don't know what that is.
And don't forget the cat. With the spider outfit.
The spider cat. Yeah, the spider bodega cat. And that one bodega in the city. You know, the one that Andrew Yang used to go to? No, for around. Well, he would have been going to a real bodega if he was going into that Spider-Man game bodega. Not the corner store like he was saying he was going to. Anyway, Flaggate, somebody says on here.
Yeah, J-Ship says shout out to Danny and Paris. Yeah, definitely shout out to them.
Yep.
When Tony was on their show not too long ago.
Yep.
So,
it's a good stuff.
Radio.
So yeah, I guess.
Right, should I go to the next question?
Yeah, head on to the next one.
This next question is also from Eurocar. He asks, what are the top three games you want to play before the year ends? And these are new games, by the way.
Oh, it can't be a game that I recently bought that's kind of new. Well, it did come out this year, but not like new.
Oh, no, yeah. This year, anything from this year counts.
Evil West came out this year, right? Can't remember.
I thought it was last year.
Oh, well, that's an old game. Anyway, Spider-Man, possibly Alan Wake. Oh, and Metal Gear Solid Collection, because it's not new games.
That counts.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that would be the only three PS5 games I would pretty much have. So yeah,
right.
That's me.
By the way, Evil West, yeah, like Brian said, that was last year.
Damn it.
Yeah, for me, I definitely still want to play Sea of Stars, thanks to Mr. Richard Bailey Jr., who's been telling me about this game for months. I'll get to it eventually, because I'm pretty interested in that game. And Baldur's Gate 3. So those are my top two. Those are my top two that I definitely want to play. Sea of Stars I'll probably beat within this month, and then hopefully Baldur's Gate when I get back. And the third one is might be a surprise for you. For some of you, it might not be a surprise. Mario Brothers Wonder.
Mm.
I want to play that game. I mean, I'm a huge Mario fan, so I play most of those. Haven't been as big of a Nintendo fan recently, but Mario, I'm still cool with the Mario. And people have been praising the game. It's not like, you know, people don't praise Nintendo first party games, but it's still pretty pleasant to see that, you know, the rave reviews.
Mm.
How about you, Rich?
Okay, so Baldur's Gate 3, I definitely need to play, because apparently this is on several people have told me this is a must play game. I need to play immediately. before I even talk about my game of the year stuff. So I have to play that. Alan Wake 2, because I still am interested to see what they're doing with that game. And this next one will shock you. I think our boy Adam has finally got into my head. I want to see what this Call of Duty is all about, because I need to see if this is it. I need to see if this is it. Yeah.
This is the one. This is the one. Everyone got to play it now, right?
This is the one we've been waiting for. They finally got it down. if you guys catch Call of Duty, I might, you never know. I might dabble. I'm disappointed though. It's not on Game Pass. I mean, come on. The merger's done. Get it on there.
Yeah. Well, they said you got to wait until next year for that. So.
Oh, okay. So it's a delayed.
The next game. Mm.
So we'll probably see it at the beginning of next year. Probably some. Obviously, the new game will be day and date.
Yes, that's the one I'm talking about. The new one, day and date. I don't know if this one. At some point, it will be on Game Pass. I don't know when though. But yeah, we'll see.
So you said Baldur's Gate. And then Call of Duty is the second one?
And Alan Wake 2.
Yes. Wake 2.
That's a good one.
Del Monte.
Yeah.
I wonder when so Alan Wake 2 comes out the 27th, right?
Yep.
That's this week.
Yes, so, it is.
I don't know that, when that the reviews are going to...
That is this week. I have heard that, reviews supposed to go up slightly before that, so we'll see what the consensus is, but it's definitely cutting it close. So
yo, Rich, J Ship says I thought RBJ was on Foam Stars.
Well, allow me to correct you and let you know that I have no plans of playing that game whatsoever, but hey, if you do play it, I would love for you to leave your impressions on a future show and let us know what you think about the game.
I mean, when I saw it at PAX West, that booth was jumping. A lot of people seemed to be enjoying the Splatoon clone. So,
oh yeah, yeah. I mean, for people that are into Splatoon, I think they will enjoy the game. But the thing is, when I played it, because I played it at Summer Games Fest, there was only one mode that they had available at the time. And it's just, to me, it felt like I can get tired of that very quickly. So I wasn't really into it. Now, there is a demo that's out now, I think, on PlayStation that has another mode. I haven't tried that yet. But I don't know, man. There's too many other games to play that I actually want to play. So I don't know if I'm going to give that a chance in the future.
Yeah, and you never know. Maybe next year is still going to be jam-packed with games. So
yeah,
if people aren't playing their backlog from this year, it still might look like another pretty good year, 2024.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
So I got a question before we go. I guess we'll go with Chris next, but I have a question for the chat. What three games are you guys looking forward to? I wonder if it's overlaps with some of us, because I know we have some overlapping. I'm curious to know. What about you, Chris?
What I'm looking forward to? I mean, I'm so behind on games. Like, I skipped a whole bunch, and I skipped right to Spider-Man. I feel like I cheated. I cheated Starfield. I cheated Armored Core 6. I haven't played any of that. I haven't even played Tears of the Kingdom. No. So I have a lot to go back to. I mean, the only thing I wanted, because I was pretty happy this year, I got Resident Evil 4, and that DLC was pretty good. I had a good year. The only thing I wanted that would have capped my year off was Elden Ring DLC. That's what I really wanted. I don't know when that's coming. I haven't heard anything about it. It would be great if they made an announcement, but the only thing we heard from FromSoft was Armored Core, right? They promoted that game. And I have nothing against Armored Core. I'm not an Armored Core guy. That's why I didn't jump on it, even though it looks like Bloodborne with robots. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to skip that. What I really probably will play next after Spider-Man is Starfield. Go back to that.
Oh.
But I don't know what else is coming out at the end of the year.
I know.
I mean, I guess I could get Mario. Like, that's.
I would say I know Kristen would probably want to play Alan Wake. She loved the other ones.
Yes, that's on her list. I didn't play the first one. She played the first one, so she would definitely play Alan Wake. That's not for me. But she loved that game. She loved that game. She played the. American Nightmare? She played that too.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. She would love that. I'm trying to think what else might be coming out. that I would want, but I don't. I can't think of anything.
Yeah, Mario RPG is also coming out. J-Ship mentioned Mario RPG. That's true.
Ah, there is that.
Yeah, and I think Kristen would more look forward to that than I did. I didn't play the original one either. So there's a lot of nostalgia for that game, I know, and I'll probably watch her play it, but I don't think I'll play it.
I'll play
Wonder though. I'll get Super Mario Wonder and play that.
I wonder. Sure. I've been wondering if that if Mario RPG still has the secret Final Fantasy bosses in it. You know, now since like it's a fully, you know, Nintendo developed game now.
Yeah, I don't know. Do they have to like? Is there any legal stuff that they have to negotiate? Because Square made the original one.
I suspect
that. Do they have anything to do with this one?
I don't think they did. I think it's just a full on. Like they managed to get the full rights to it, and they're just like, all right, we're done. You know. So I don't know if all the goofy, you know, Square Enix secret or Squaresoft secrets are going to be in there. Who knows?
Yeah, they may pull them out. Like, I'm going to lean towards they probably pull them out just to avoid any licensing or legal problems. But who knows? And they could surprise us and leave them in there, which I think would be nice for all the old school fans. But all the new people playing Super Mario RPG, they're not going to care that Final Fantasy Easter eggs are in there or not.
Cool. What about you, Brian?
I have mostly the same games, somewhat so. Remnant 2, because Brett just really talked about it a lot, and I seen some of the gameplay, and it just seemed very interesting. Baldur's Gate 3, because, again, everyone's like, yeah, this is like the RPG, and it's Larian Studios, and I think they're really good at what they do. And Armored Core, because giant robots. Who does not like giant robots?
Oh, yeah. Armor Core is good. I played it. I haven't beaten it yet, but it's pretty much, you know, you know what you're getting. It's good. It's pretty, you know, it's difficult. I will say that. I mean everyone knows what they're getting into when, you know, talking about From Software, but man, there's aspects of the game where you need to think about your builds and how to approach different enemies, but yeah, it's good. They did a good job. Yeah, and I think that's it for that question. Next question is from Black Metal Gamer. He asks, if Game Pass keeps getting raised in price, what do you think will be too high of a price? What would be the minimum of the raised price that would make most casuals say, nah, I'm unsubscribing? So sort of a two-in-one. It's like, what would be too high of a price for you for Game Pass? And what do you think is the price that most people or most casuals would say, nah, I won't pay this?
I mean, I don't know. Right now, it's like, how much a year? It's like about as much as a game, right? $60, $70, right?
Game Pass Ultimate, I know, is $15 a year. Or no, maybe...
That's a month.
It's a month. Yeah, so... No, and actually, I think they raised the price from that. I think it's 16 or 17 bucks a month now for Ultimate, if I remember correctly. So, and then I think the core is, yeah. So, okay, here we go. So here are the price SKUs. Xbox Game Pass for console is $10.99, which is 11 bucks a month. Xbox Game Pass Core, which I guess is a PC, is 10 bucks a month. PC Game Pass is $9.99 as well. And Game Pass Ultimate is $16.99. So 17 bucks for Ultimate. PC Game Pass is 10 bucks. Game Pass Core is 10 bucks. And Game Pass for console is 11 bucks.
I mean,
I guess
16 times 12, yeah. 16 times 12 is $204, isn't it?
Yeah. So that's if you do the monthly. I don't know if they have discounts for yearly.
Mm.
But yeah, it's $200 essentially a year for a year of Game Pass Ultimate, which is what, almost three point something games. Yep, like three games essentially. Yeah,
three games.
I don't know. I you know, I think my Game Pass expires in this week actually, and I'm thinking about getting it back. But you know, Starfield, I already beat that. I pretty much did almost everything that I wanted to. I think around 60 hours on that game or close to it. So I don't know if I'm going to re-up, but I think right now, if it's over 19 bucks a month, then I would say no. I think that might be my threshold at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, playing $20 a month, and then like, there's no guarantees that you're going to be playing something every month. But who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I mean, definitely. Yeah, it's yeah. Hmm. For me, I mean, I don't. To be honest, I was I got Game Pass through through something just got it gifted a year.
You got it in the streets.
Yeah, I got it in the streets.
Uh-oh.
No, I got to get it in the streets. No, I was gifted it from, gifted it. So, I mean, I've been playing it, but I mean, playing it also doesn't, it's not always a thing. You know, like, I did get Hi-Fi Rush, and that's probably the highlight of it. I did put the Lies mm-hmm. of P download for it, but again, like, also, I don't specifically own an Xbox. I have it, running off of my computer. And to be honest, I've said this before, I don't want to be sitting in front of this computer playing games. I did it for Hi-Fi Rush, and I just felt like wrong. I was like, oh, what is this? Sitting in the same seat I work in. Get me out of here. Yeah. So I felt icky. I just was like, this is gross. So I'm just like sitting in the same old seat that I normally sit in. I want to be in my living. So, but I mean, since my Game Pass subscription is closing up soon, I figured I'd buy, Game Pass gives you a discount if you buy any of the games that are on there. So I just bought Hi-Fi Rush so that I at least had it when everything was all said and done.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I'll go ahead, Rich.
I was going to say, this is my honest opinion. Now, let me start by saying, just like Manny, I pretty much have a... You know, I have a subscription already. You know, I had got a subscription a while back, a discounted price, of course. So what I say right now is I don't think the price needs to raise any higher. If it was up to me, I would make the regular Game Pass $9.99, and if it's Ultimate, I would make it $15. I don't know why it's up to $16, $17, because it doesn't feel like I don't know what else you're getting out of it. And I have Game Pass. I have used Game Pass Ultimate. Obviously, I play the majority of the games I play on Series X. I don't really go on PC often. But I do mm-hmm. think if you're paying for Ultimate, you should have access to PC and Xbox. Because that's just my opinion. But I don't think the price needs to ever go up higher. Because, again, there's enough subscriptions that people are charging you for. If you still have Netflix or any other service, you already know this. So, it should not go higher than 15. That's just my opinion. It might be controversial, yeah, but that's my opinion.
I know. I mean, obviously, I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to essentially, get a little bit more out of, it, to essentially help fund the thing. But yeah, like if you mm-hmm. When you break it all down, like let's say, how many games did you say that would be, Carlos? Like what?
Like three games.
Three games. So, like, if you have, like, yeah, less than, like, if you're getting less than three games, you're getting, like, three games every year, I'm guessing, like...
Sorry, three $60 games.
$360 games, not $370 games. I don't know everybody's going up to, but, I mean, yeah, I feel like in general, that as good for the consumer as Game Pass is also, like, it's not... In some ways, it's not so good for the industry in general because they're not making those direct sales. Sort of talked about this before, but I feel like the more they start to raise the price, the more they cut the line of people to get in. If you keep it at a cheaper price, I feel like people will be more inclined to go into it, rather than just like, oh, we just realized, holy shit, it cost me $200 to have this service running.
Yeah, and I think. As far as the second part of the question, what price most casuals would be unsubscribing, I think this is it. I think if they raise it up a little bit more, I don't know how many more people, like new people you'll get, until the Call of Duty push.
Yeah.
Because, we're getting, not only, we're talking about video game subscriptions, but Netflix, they just raised their prices again.
Yeah.
These companies raise prices every freaking every quarter, it seems.
Yeah. And it's funny because they just closed down their DVD business, right? They're rental business. So they closed all of that down now. So that means that they're probably got rid of anybody who's doing any sort of fulfillment. So theoretically, you're kind of saving yourself money. Why are you charging more? But I also understand why they're charging more too, because again, they're trying to offset the amount of money that they're blowing on making all this original content. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you know, like right. I saw a thing about the numbers of Netflix, and even to this day, as much as a bump that the Stranger Things and a couple of the other things like Castlevania and stuff give the service, it is still dwarfed by things that were in the theater. Like shit like Boss Baby and like, you know, stuff that was already stuff that had already been in the theaters. Those things are still, you know, still getting higher watch numbers than their actual content is.
Yeah, I heard Carlos say that Boss Baby movie is fire. So
you know, I still have yet to see it, but I'm pretty sure it's a movie. I think we answered that one. Let's go to the next one from Black Metal Gamer. He said, "Would mid-gen refreshes always being talked about? Should that even be a thing, or should they just cut this console generation short and start with a new generation and just make whatever on these current consoles extremely neutered, kind of like how they did with PS5 versus PS4, make PS5 games so weak compared to PS6? So essentially, do you guys feel like mid-gen refreshes should just be considered next generation? Should they do next generation instead of mid-gen refresh?
To be honest, like one would think with all the pandemic stuff that happened, that this would be more of a truncated generation. But to be honest, I think they're just going to try to make this generation stretch as long as, even though we're already seeing the cracks, you know, 3 years in, we're already seeing like games that are not being able to achieve all the different stuff that they say that they initially said they could set out for. So, mm-hmm. I mean, to be honest, I would say go to the next generation, but I realize that they're trying to keep people around for a little while longer. I mean, if you think about it, like if you ever look at the generations of, you know, some of the consoles, they actually didn't last. Some of them, so at least out of some of the earlier ones, they didn't last nearly as long as you think they did.
Yeah. The Xbox, I think, lasted like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah. And they were and that was at the end of that generation, right? They like it was like it started with Dreamcast. The middle was PlayStation all the way, and then at the tail end was Xbox and then GameCube, or GameCube and Xbox.
Yeah, and they released pretty I think 5 or 6 years was that generation, not even 7.
Yeah, it wasn't even.
They all released in 2005, 2006.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, for me, I think they should just do mid-gen refreshes. I don't think they should do next-generation consoles every 2-3 years, because it just makes things more complicated, to be honest. We're just going to be like, oh, here's the next generation.
And the mid-gen refresh is pretty much the slims, right? You know, they're making them smaller, well, right? Is that the PlayStation...
The pros.
Pros.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I see them more as the pros, because they're actually doing something that makes the specs a little bit better. I think last generation, the Xbox One X and the PS4 Pro had significant improvements in their GPUs. So yeah, so I think they should just keep doing that instead of doing next generation, because it'll make things more complicated. People will be confused more than they already are, and it gives developers, I guess, time to breathe and develop for the hardware. The mid-gen refreshes doesn't really change that as much as a next generation console would be. So, you know, it'll be too hectic, I think, if we do next generation stuff every 2.
I mean, I wonder, we'll see if the rumors are true about the PlayStation 5 Pro or whatever they want to call it.
Yeah, there's a lot of rumors going on. We talked about this during the pre-show. We're here, you know. Switch Pro rumors or Switch 2 or Switch Pro rumors are going around. You know, a lot of the big outlets have been like, oh, you know, there's a Switch Pro. Even I saw a podcast with MKBHD, Marques Brownlee, who's a tech YouTuber, talking about this. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Why would he talk about this? He probably has some intel.
Interesting.
So, I would think that maybe a new Switch is on the horizon, and the PS5 Pro, I think, I think, I think wasn't some documents leaked about the PS5 Pro, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, though the information came from like a YouTuber, not really like a influencer. Oh. It wasn't really like a solid source, so it could just be like, you know, could be like the same bullshit, like some guy just taking a picture of they just typed something in an Excel, not Excel document, a Word document, and took a photo of it with their cell phone camera, you know.
So you're saying that they could be a solid snake of the company? Yeah, I think we'll get a PS5 Pro next year. I think that's my Miss Cleo thing.
We'll see. Oh man, does that mean I should wait? Does that mean I should wait?
Oh no.
Does that mean I should just let my Spider-Man collect maybe at least a half a year's worth of dust before I finally play anything on? Hey, it'll be just like you guys when the PlayStation PlayStation 5 and the Xbox One came out. It was a fine dust on those consoles once all the dust settled from all the initial launch titles.
That's true. You're going to say something, Rich?
I was going to say, my advice to Sony, if they are going to release a PlayStation 5 Pro, we need to see a hell of a lot more PlayStation 5 games before that happens. You know, I'm not talking about games that are also coming to PS4. I'm talking about PlayStation 5 specifically. So hopefully that's what happens.
and not just Insomniac games.
Yes.
The Insomniac generation. That's what this is.
Yeah, Insomniac is carrying a huge weight for the PlayStation 5. Mighty Nerd says no PlayStation 5 Pro this generation, guys. And I don't know if J-Shep's agreeing with him or he's agreeing with something we said, but he said exactly. I think there is things are pointing out that there will be. It's profitable. They don't really spec up that much the system that much, except you know maybe some a little design difference and the GPU upgrade, and that's it.
What if it's even like 10 times bigger than the PlayStation 5 One
with a. Well, the PS4 Pro was bigger than the PS4, so that would have been a good anecdote for that. Yeah.
So here's a question though, Carlos. If you think that the PS5 Pro is coming, what game is it that Sony is going to announce that they're going to say, "Well, you should get the PS5 Pro," and this is the game, one of the games we think you should experience on the Pro.
Wolverine. It's Wolverine. There you go. It's the only game that you can play on the PS5 Pro. There you go.
Well, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. I would honestly, and this is Brian's going to roll his eyes from one side of his face to the other. Here's where the Last of Us Part 2 remake comes in.
Is it a thing? It's a thing, right?
It's going to be a thing. You know it's going to be. Those motherfuckers are going to milk the shit as much as they can. They did it with the Last of Us 1. They did the Last of Us, and then they made the remaster, and then they made the remake. Last of Us 2 is going to get a remake, and you know if they have a PlayStation 5 Pro to show it off, to have those features on, they're going to do it. Yeah, it's unfortunately, I think that's more of the path that they'll take. Either that, or you know, Manny mentioned Wolverine. You know, the Insomniac train doesn't stop. So who knows? Maybe that's near complete. So who knows? But you know, I think that PS5 Pro is definitely coming. Yeah, and it's Jay Shep mentions the legacy of Jim Ryan. Yeah, Jim Ryan's gonna leave us with all that.
Why you always Ryan?
Why you always Ryan? Oh my god! Stop a Jim Ryan. All right, let's go on to the next question. All right, we got Mob Hits with Discord in the bits. Yes. What do you guys think of this new trend of having to hike prices on subs due to subscription surge? Right now, I'm speaking of Netflix, but who's to say Microsoft or Sony catch wind and start applying these stupid tactics? Yeah, like we mentioned earlier, it's something that it's a trend that everyone follows. Disney said, I think they even said when they were initially released, like, oh yeah, it's a pretty good price. And and we're not planning on raising prices anytime soon. What did they do? They raised prices. Netflix, it seems like they raise their prices like 3 times a year for the past couple of years.
Yeah, they got to pay for all that. They got to pay for all those episodes of Stranger Things.
Well, yeah, they got to pay for the Stranger Kids, who at this point are pretty sure are strange adults. Yeah, it's there. And Microsoft with Game Pass, we've had it raise price this year. So yeah, this is going to be a trend. It's not something.
Yeah,
that's they're just gonna be like, oh, we're gonna just or stand pat and watch everyone raise their prices. They'll raise their prices as well.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, like I feel like the moment they should definitely raise their price, and this is still sucky to say, when they actually have sought after titles on there. But I think also again, like if you bring to the price to a point where people are not willing to pay for it. Where they're just like, I don't know, man. I just got this thing, and it just sort of sits there. And maybe that's also what they're looking for. They're just looking for you to just keep throwing away, like, you know, just, you know, like, it'll, like how some people just leave their Netflix or whatever running in the background, their subscriptions, and then they just keep collecting more money and more money and more money.
And the funny thing is with Sony, it's like, I think none of us really care about their subscriptions because it's like...
No.
I don't even know how much they cost. At least the upper tier ones.
The upper tier ones I never didn't care for, and then I like, you know, obviously I still have the lower tier. I mean, and I guess the lower to the original PlayStation Zero to, you know, first the, you know, PlayStation Plus was just you just don't get anything for it now. It just seems like they just keep want to push you to, you know, Extra and Ultimate or whatever the hell they call those stupid things.
Because they did raise the price of the bottom tier. I know that for sure.
Yeah, they want.
Remember
more.
We talked about it during the show.
They want more money out of the bottom tier because obviously everybody's just like, hey, you know what? I'm good. I don't need the other stuff. I have a question for
Jay Shift says.
Good. I have a small question for you guys. I'm not sure if you guys asked this, but like, what do you guys think of the thing that's coming to the higher tier PlayStation Pluses, where they're essentially adding in their movie service, you know, their Sony movie service to it. So where you get like a curated, not only do you get your, you know, your games per month, but you also get a, you know, movies with it too. What do you think, guys, thinking of that?
I mean, we've talked about this for years with PlayStation View. We're like, it makes sense. Put PlayStation View, make a bundle. Yep. PlayStation View, PlayStation Plus. Let everyone and PlayStation Now make every like the choice for everyone to be into your ecosystem.
Yep. Is even PlayStation View even a thing anymore?
Oh no, it's dead.
Yeah, it's dead. But yet in all, Sony already. See how Sony does these things? It's like they already had something that was like this already, and they didn't think, oh hey, let's put this on there. Now they're getting the idea. Oh, hey, let's put them all together. You know, make this thing. Because it's all, yeah, let's catch a little bit of that PlayStation money in the film division, you know?
PlayStation is their moneymaker. Like Chris discusses in every report that he does during the shows, PlayStation is a breadwinner for Sony. And PlayStation has a really loyal fan base that would pay money for almost anything. So if you had the option to say, hey, you know what, PlayStation has a streaming service. They got movies or they got TV or any of that stuff. You know, a lot of people will get into that. And I, you know, we discussed it during the previous years. It's like it made sense to do with a View. They didn't do it. PlayStation View died. It might have died. It might have still died, but this would have given it a better chance. I feel like they should do that with their other service, even though none of us are going to subscribe to it.
Yeah.
But
it makes the most sense.
Yeah, it makes the most. All right, let's go to the next Mop Hits question. He asks, do you guys consider Mario Wonder to be the Nintendo Switch swan song for the system? That's adding the assumption that the Switch 2 is coming out soon. Because if it is, then it's definitely the swan song. Because I don't see Nintendo releasing a major first-party game after this. Mario RPG is another one, but... It's not as big as Mario Wonder or like a Tears of the Kingdom type game.
Know what the kicker is? Wasn't Metroid Prime 4 promised like 6 years ago? How long ago did they announce that?
Oh, yeah.
And that probably won't make it to the system.
Yeah.
Hey, well, that's Rich. probably going to be the launch game for Switch 2, Chris.
Oh sure, yeah. You know, I love it how Reggie back then when he announced it, it's like, hey, you know, other studios, you shouldn't announce games too far ahead of time. I was like, oh really?
this is interesting. It's the pot calling the kettle black, isn't it?
I mean, and their announcement of 4 was just half-assed as the development seems to have been, because it was just a dude sitting down on a chair in an office saying, hey, oh, by the way, Metroid Prime 4 is coming.
Well, mm-hmm. I mean, look how long the Zelda updates were going. Like, I know, you know, COVID happened, but they just have Aonuma going like, hey, we'll have something soon. Here's 20 seconds for you to analyze.
Yeah, 20 seconds.
One time he came out to talk about Zelda, and he didn't even talk about Tears of the Kingdom. He's like, "Don't ask. I'm going to talk about this other game."
Yeah, yeah. Or the time where they're like, "Hey, look, see, it's running on a screen. We'll play it for you off the screen."
Yeah, it's on the screen behind me. you know, whatever they decide to do with the timing of the Switch 2, which I think it would be holiday next year. I don't think they need to rush and release it in March like they did with the Switch. I think they'll wait, but you have Tears of the Kingdom and you have Mario Wonder. I think like Carlos said, there's not going to be any more major releases. If there are, there would be third party, right? It would just be third party commitments that they have to. But other than that, I think they would focus their attention on the Switch 2, and then what are you going to launch on there? Because you just had a Zelda, right? Now you just have a Mario. Unless you got to port the Mario and do 6 million sales on the Switch 2. It's like, how is this happening? Like Mario Kart 8. Why don't you port that again? It sold so well.
We got more tracks.
Put some more Nintendo characters. You know, the deep cut ones. What you don't actually care about this time.
Yeah. Well, Chris, there is. So we got a 2D Mario this year. Maybe a 3D Mario. That could be. That could be one.
Do that. Well, yeah. I was wondering where Odyssey.
Yeah. Or maybe that. Yeah. They didn't even say anything about an Odyssey 2 though.
No. Not a thing.
Mr. Jolly Yellow says Switch 2 launch title. He says Metroid Prime 4. So he thinks Metroid Prime 4 could be prime candidate for this. No pun intended. It has to be. It has to be a big, because I think it might have to be a Mario game, because I don't think any Zelda's not going to come out anytime soon. Maybe Pokemon, but Pokemon's not the type of. I don't know. I just can't wait for a Switch 2, to be honest. I'm done with this goddamn Switch. I'm gonna have to play it to play a Super Mario Wonder, but man, I'm 720p gaming, man. That's just not my thing anymore. I'm an elitist.
Wait a second. Switch 2 or Steam Deck. Version 2. Which one do you want more?
Ooh. Oh, that's an easy one. That's a good question, but it's an easy one.
We're getting Hugo Jr.
Hugo Jr. I don't know. You know, we gotta get. Oh, by the way, let's tell Adam. Adam told us a story during the I Am Negan show. Not during the before the I Am Negan show. it's not an Adam issue, but it's funny because Adam always finds a way. So his Steam Deck, aka Hugo, you know, he plays it all the time. He's got all his games, he's got all his other stuff that we won't talk about. And he loves his Steam Deck. But one day his SD card corrupted and he lost everything. Apparently, so Adam bought an SD card from SanDisk, I think it's SanDisk Extreme, and he bought a 1 terabyte one. And it had, and apparently what he said the issue was is there's two different versions of that type of SD card. There's an A1 version and then there's an A2 version. And he said that the A1 version is more used for storage, so it's not used that frequently, like all the time. It's not being read to and written to all the time. It's more of sort of just a storage thing. You know, you store your documents in there and open them occasionally and stuff like that. But the A2 version is the one that is more, it should be more used for video games. And Adam had the A1 version. his SD card got corrupted. And he not only did he have most of his games there, but he had a lot of his AMI deck stuff. That's all, you know, So he wasn't too happy about it, but apparently this is an issue that's well known because a lot of people have had it. Found it interesting that Hugo wet the bed.
Oh man, you know, I would think you know, he would at least try to have a duplicate somewhere, you know, just so that if it does ever happen, like it ever does go out, you just keep your duplicate and you just restore it.
Yeah, some redundancy. Yeah, I do. I have a similar card as Adam did, but mine was actually the A2. So hopefully mine doesn't have any issues because I have most of my stuff installed on that one instead of the normal the internal SSD for the system.
But also you don't play nearly as much games on your so I mean like
no it doesn't surprise I don't think any other does living,
it surprise human being does. Does it surprise me it caught fire because he played it too much.
I mean, yeah, that's Adam is pretty hardcore with his Steam Deck.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Rich, Steam Deck 2, I would definitely prefer it more over a Switch 2, just for the mere fact that there's just so many games that I have on the Steam Deck, and having them run better is great because those games are way more demanding than Nintendo for.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that there's a way to access some of those Nintendo games on Steam Deck if you really wanted to do that research.
But, you know, that's from another throw down your sales show.
The pirate down, that's what that would be.
All right, let's go to the next question here. This is a sponsored question by RBJ.
Oh,
sponsored.
Oh, really?
It's sponsored by RBJ. I wonder who that is. Is a controversial fellow.
Interesting.
So he asks, and this is a sponsor for Mob Hits question. Yes, out of the big three, who do you think is the king of story-driven games, and how would you rank them? Which I feel like this is pretty easy.
Yeah, that would probably be Sony or PlayStation.
Yeah, I would have Sony at the number one spot for that.
Two, well, to be honest, like Nintendo doesn't really do story-driven games.
Yeah,
like I guess Zelda is probably the closest, but even Zelda's story is like it's very sort of loose. Yeah. So yeah. I guess automatically it'd be Xbox, right?
Yeah, that's how I would have it. Sony, Xbox, Nintendo. Just as in terms of story alone.
You know, if you think about it, like the way they do Zelda game like plots right now, it's almost like Souls games now. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but if you
okay,
if you ask Brett, he'll be like, no, the lore in Elden Ring or From Software games is a lot deeper than whatever the hell Nintendo does with Zelda.
I don't know. There's a lot of mysterious lore that they don't tell you. You know, like the worlds are duplicated and all kinds of other fun. Their convoluted timeline of the bad future and the good future. You know, there's a literally a whole the Hyrule Ultimania, which is literally a dictionary filled with lore from all the different timelines of Zelda games.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. I think across it's the franchise's history, it's built up a pretty significant set of lore. I think on an individual game basis, I think from software game in particular, Soulsborne game might have more on an individual game. Yeah, but I think I wonder if anyone doesn't agree. I think Rich, you were about to say something.
I initially thought the question was going to be which studios are the best story driven. Studios, because I would need to think about that a little bit more, especially after Spider-Man 2, because the Spider-Man 2 story is crazy. I think the order is correct. I think I have to put a bit of an asterisk next to Xbox though, because I have not seen any you know, the first party lineup is lacking. You know, they need to, you know, obviously Gears, you know, Adam's favorite. I do give him credit for that. But the recent game, Starfield, okay, yeah, there's a story in Starfield. Forza, there is no story. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking about in recent times. So obviously next year could be very good for Xbox if some of those games actually drop. You know, Fable, all the other stuff, Hellblade. But yeah, I think it's okay for them to be number two right now, but that could change next year. We need to see if.
So are you saying
we got to see more? I got to see more.
Are you saying that Nintendo's, you know, not having so many stories, you know, story driven games, as opposed to next to no story driven games, just because of the sheer amount of first party games they've ever put out?
Oh well, that's a good question. I'm not really sure what I'm saying. I mean to say is we need to see more from Xbox. You know, because when I'm thinking, you see, when you mention it by the brands, I'm thinking about the first party lineup, and that's why I say, yeah, clearly Sony is number one with that. We saw God of War, Horizon, all their games. They, you know, a lot of story driven content. With Xbox though, recently I haven't really seen too much of that. So I think that obviously if you think about their legacy games they had in the past, they definitely belong on the list. But I'm saying that could definitely change if they are not going to be really focusing on their first-party content and doing more of these types of games. So we'll see. But Nintendo, I don't know, because, you know, like our good friend Tony, I don't play on Switch because, you know, no offense, but I got to play the mature games. I don't see a lot of mature games on Switch, so maybe I'll change, but I don't play on there too much, so.
Yeah, I agree. I'm also, that's a good point. I mean, Microsoft doesn't have as much output to even consider it. But I mean, when I think of Nintendo, I think of Zelda, I think of Mario, I think of Pokemon, Pikmin, I think of Animal Crossing, and those stories are a lot of those are almost non-existent.
Yeah,
you know, the Mario has a shell of a story. Zelda probably has the most unique or the best one out of those types of games. Yeah, so and most of them are just rehashed anyways. But yeah, that's I think everyone mostly agrees.
Yep.
Blitz says Tears story was good though. It was interesting. It was interesting. I mean, I wouldn't say it's not Shakespeare or anything, but
whoa.
But it was you know, I expected less and I got more. That's all I say. And I haven't even been it yet, so that's good for that. It's J-Ship says, don't get me wrong, I think the Zelda stories are great, just predictable. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, it's like, what's the main crux of the thing? Save Zelda, kill Ganon. Pretty much, like, with the exception of a few.
A lot of them are, yeah.
Yeah. But no, it's not more complicated. Now you're a wolf now. Now you got the hand of an ancient person. You can move things around with your mind.
Yeah.
Defeat Ganon.
I feel like the story. I like the stories better. You know, Wind Waker, Link to the Past, you know, Ocarina of Time. I felt like those were the best stories for me. J-Ship says Carlos throwing a Nintendo shade in Tony's place. Yep. I guess that hole needed to be filled somehow.
No, brother.
I got one subset here asking questions. Yo, what up, one subset?
Yo.
He asked, there's a game called Dino Break, which looks like the same type of gameplay as Dino Crisis. I haven't played it yet, but with this being said, will Capcom ever give us a remake of Dino Crisis? Which is it's a question that I feel like we get every couple of months. I don't know.
I mean, the gameplay doesn't. Okay. Dino Break. Yeah, you mean the indie game, not the crazy game from Capcom where all the dinosaurs are all falling out of the sky.
That's Exoprimal.
I mean, you know, here's the thing. Like, I feel like a lot of the indie spaces are always about like filling in those spaces, or you know, the middle age sort of fill in those spaces of games that have sort of done left by the wayside. So would Capcom do a Dino Crisis remake? I mean, their remakes seem to be doing pretty damn well. So maybe that, you know, maybe they do Code Veronica and maybe they'll hit a Dino Crisis. But I mean, Dino I would Crisis. Say the only thing is that Dino Crisis sort of needs a bit of a glow up because this plot for that game was kind of dopey. But you know, I mean, granted, the Resident Evil plots are pretty damn dopey too. So whatever, you just switch out zombies for raptors.
I would say I would say that they might, but they're gonna just ride the Resident Evil train for a while. Like they the successes they've had with remakes has been pretty much solely Resident Evil, and or big time hints at a 5 remake. And that's not a spoiler. Uh-oh. It's just they're definitely throwing out hints like 5 remake is either in the works or coming. And then so you have I think 2026 is the 30 years of Resident Evil. That would be a hell of a time to release a second remake of the first game.
Resident Evil remake.
Yeah, where you get the over the shoulder camera. I think people would really dig that. People have been asking for that. As a matter of fact, the Capcom faced 2 indie projects. There was a Code Veronica fan remake. They killed that one.
Yeah.
And there was a and what was the other one? There's another. I think there was a 1 remake, but there's another one that's still happening. That is still, I saw an update for it. It's still the fan remake of 1 in Unreal Engine 4 that plays like kind of like RE4 does now. It looked really good. They haven't tased that yet, but it's funny they tased the Code Veronica once, but people are thinking, oh, that's probably what's coming next. I don't think that's what's coming next. I think either 5 or 1 is coming next. And then, of course, then they can't forget people will wait for a sequel to Village. They'll wait for Resident Evil 9. They have so much going on, and they have stuff going on with Monster Hunter. I think after all that, they bled out the Resident Evil remakes, and then there's fatigue. Then they'll be like, oh, we have Dino Crisis. Do that one.
All right, let's go on to the next question by Mr. One Subset. He asks, I'm sure BioWare is taking notes from Starfield. What should BioWare create in their own fashion that's directly from Starfield? What should BioWare create in their own game that's directly from Starfield?
Can I make a comment on this?
Yes.
I think BioWare should focus on surviving right now. Because they're under EA. I think that's their main, that should be their main focus. I haven't heard anything about the next Mass Effect. So obviously, and then Dragon Age, because I know our very good friend Gary has, I think there's a little bit of concern because I hear people keep continuing to leave BioWare. So this is why I say they need to make sure that they're able to complete whatever this next game is and that it is a success. Because if not, then it might be it for BioWare.
That's a good point. I mean, yeah, being part of that company, once you do more than one dud, you're definitely gone. Your head's about to be chopped off. But I will say from Starfield, I think one thing that they could take is the shipbuilding. I feel like the shipbuilding mechanic is pretty good. It's really good, actually. And also the planet, the way that, the solar system is. Or the solar systems are, where there's just multiple solar systems. You can traverse them and you can encounter different planets and you traverse through them. The traversal, I would do different. I would do something that's a little bit more more intuitive than what Starfield did. But yeah, those two aspects I would definitely take with that. I don't think anything else though. I think maybe just some of the random missions that you encounter that are really good. I think, Bethesda, that's one of their specialties is just, going through a random planet, encountering a random person or a random place and it being a really memorable mission. And it's not something that you really guided to. It's not something that is insinuated by anywhere in the story or anything, but you just stumble upon it just by traversing and you make a memory, which is, some of the best parts of what Bethesda games are for me. Anybody have anything they would want BioWare? I'm guessing this is a Mass Effect game because I doubt BioWare is going to make a space game that's not going to be tied to Mass Effect.
I mean, there is Brett's favorite Dragon's Age that could be in there.
Oh yeah, I mean, well yeah, they're working on
that right now, right?
So, yeah. Yep. So is there anything from Starfield that you feel like they could take that could correlate to Dragon's Age?
I mean, the thing about it is like, Dragon Age seems almost quaint compared to Starfield. Like, you can't nearly do as many things as you could do in that game. Like, imagine if you could do all that sort of stuff. Like, in other words, what if they did somehow manage to take, you know, Dragon Age into, like, a really full-on, like, open-world RPG game as opposed to be varying, somewhat linear sort of stories. Mm-hmm. Or even just taking, you know, I hate to use Baldur's Gate, but take it in that direction, too. But there's a lot of feedback for the things you do, because isn't that what BioWare sort of like supposedly excels at, right? You know, feedback for choices that you make and things that you do. You know, I feel like maybe learning less from Starfield and maybe more from Baldur's Gate.
Well, the thing is, BioWare did do the first Baldur's Gate game, and I think they made the second one as well. They made Knights of the Old Republic, they made Dragon's Age, and they made Mass Effect. And I feel like after Mass Effect 3 and their colors, I feel like it's all gone downhill from there. So, you know, going back to the roots, taking something, you know, maybe getting something from Larian as opposed to something from Bethesda would help in terms of, you know, what would guide them into a better place that they used to be good at.
Yeah. I just was going to say, I believe a lot of the people that was on that BioWare team that originally worked on the first Mass Effect trilogy are not with the company anymore. Some of them are still there, but a lot of them have moved on. So when they did Andromeda, that was another team that clearly did not do all of their research. They were not prepared because they knew that people were going to compare this new game to what was done before. So I kind of feel like they got to do their research. They, you know, I don't know if they can definitely look at what they did in Starfield, what they're doing in Baldur's Gate, but I feel like they should definitely go back to some of these veterans, some of the work that they've done on the original trilogy, what worked, and try to find a way to put some of that into what they're doing right now. But I don't really know what their goal is with any of that stuff. Cause I know right now, they are working on Dragon's Age, but I have no idea what's going on with Mass Effect. I don't know how far they are with either one of these games, so I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah. All right. Let's go on to the next question by Mr. Jolly Yellow Nerd. He asks, last year at the Game Awards, there were 6 nominees for Game of the Year, with Elden Ring ultimately winning. Only considering games that are officially released as of right now, i.e. no Alan Wake 2 because it hasn't formally released yet, what would your 6 nominees for Game of the Year be right now?
Well,
so most of us, I think most of us haven't played 6 games from this year, except maybe Rich.
I mean, I can do the obvious ones, to be honest.
Yeah, you can do the obvious ones for sure. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The obvious ones would be, like, you know, Tears of the Kingdom, right? Would be, you know, Legend of Zelda. It would be...
Yeah, good.
Yeah, it would be Spider-Man. It would be... Baldur's Gate. It would probably be Starfield. What else?
Ooh. What else we got? Mario Wonder.
I don't know when the cutoff point is for for Game Awards, but I always feel like it's always they cut it seriously close as possible, like almost like November, like, you know, like, you know, when is it? November, right? Mid November.
Yeah, I think it's the middle of November. I think. Don't quote me on that.
I feel like they usually do the cutoff like literally like maybe a week or two beforehand, allowing all those big games to come through. Because I notice that anything that doesn't hit that sweet spot, like, it goes a little bit over, I notice that they don't even get a nomination on the following Game Awards.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and doesn't Keighley usually nominate a token indie game?
A token indie game. Yeah,
Sea of Stars.
Put Sea of Stars in there. Put Lies of P in there.
Lies of P.
Maybe Hi-Fi Rush. I don't know. That could get thrown into the action game category.
Here's one: Hogwarts.
Hogwarts I forgot Legacy. About that. Yeah. So what is that?
And so did I.
Yeah, we'll just get rid of Hi-Fi Rush and then, yeah, Hogwarts Legacy instead. Yeah. No, there you go.
So, okay, so let's dwindle this down to 6 then. So we know Baldur's Gate is a lock. Tears of the Kingdom is a lock.
Yeah.
Spider-Man is a lock.
Yeah, that's a lock. Mario Wonder is a lock.
Oh, Mario. Okay, let's. Okay, that's four locks. We got two more. So we got to choose in between Sea of Stars, Hogwarts, Starfield. And...
Wait, hold on. Does Chris want to defend Resident Evil 4? Because that did come out this year.
Oh, I did.
They'll just have eight.
Well, I mean, it that was really freaking good. I enjoyed it. But it would be up against the competition. Like, I think Gears might take it, to be honest with you. I haven't played it myself, but I watched Kristen play it, and you know, just seeing how rabid Nintendo fans are, I would think that there would be blood if it didn't win.
Yeah. So Rich, I don't think Resident Evil 4 would be nominated for Game of the Year just because it's a remake and there's stiff competition, like Chris mentioned. So it's got an uphill. It might, you know, you never know, but I feel like its odds are a little bit against it.
So, I do have one comment to make. I'm gonna wait until after you finish this the six games, though. Cool. So we're at number four now.
We're at number five. So the first four are locks. We got Spider-Man. We got Tears of the Kingdom. We got Baldur's Gate, and we got Mario Wonder. So those are the four locks, for the throwdown locks, and we got two left to complete the six.
Okay.
So we got in between Resident Evil 4, Hogwarts Legacy, Starfield, Sea of Stars. So
did you mention Armored Core?
Oh, we got Armored Core. We got Final Fantasy 16. We got a lot of games.
We got a lot of games. You know, here's the thing. I would say you could maybe offload some of those off into the other category.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You could maybe offload. You could possibly offload Tears of the Kingdom into the action game category, right? If there's an action game, there's an action game category. You could possibly do that.
Yes. Right. But it has to be. It has to be nominated for Game of the Year.
It will be nominated.
And honestly, Rich, I think you think the same way I do. I think Starfield will get nominated.
Yeah, it will get nominated. We have to give a shout out to Brett because I know he would vote for that if he was here. So yeah, Starfield definitely on that list.
Oh, Rich, yeah. you haven't listened to the last few episodes of Throwdown. Brett has soured a little bit on Starfield.
Yep, he's gone the other direction. Uh-oh.
But that's two games this year for me. It was Diablo 4 and then it was Starfield.
Forgot about Diablo 4. Yeah.
Baldur's Gate is his new hotness.
Yeah, Baldur's Gate and Remnant 2. I wonder how much Remnant love 2. Remnant 2 will get.
Yeah, that's going to get a lot of love. Yeah, that will get some love.
Jay Ship asks, how do they pick nominees? Jeff Keighley and his band of judges nominate them. He publishes
what Jeff Keighley does is he creates these idea balls, you know, which have the games inside of them. And then what he does is he throws it inside of a giant pool with a bunch of manatees. And whatever the manatees pick, that's the nominator. That's the one that gets nominated.
Go ahead, Rich.
So I know we're still trying to think about the picks, but let me just say this. I've seen when people saw the Metacritic score for Mario Wonder, a lot of people are having conversations online, talk about, oh man, this is going to be a lot of work for Jeff Keighley to figure out the Game of the Year nominees. But to go to the comment that Emilio made earlier, you know, there are other categories for best Nintendo game, best Xbox game, best PlayStation game. Mm. So I'm pretty sure Starfield will probably win that award. And I'm pretty sure that one of those between Mario and Zelda is going to win that award. But the question is about Game of the Year. I'm pretty sure he'll just make he'll expand that list this year and not narrow it down to just six. But we'll have to wait and see if that's what he does because it's too many games.
Well, we know for sure it's possible that the Nintendo category might dilute their way of wanting to put two Nintendo games for Game of the Year.
Yeah.
So, but Tears of the Kingdom has to be there because people will riot if it's not.
Yeah. and I believe that was a game that was on the most anticipated when they did the previous show. That was one of the most anticipated games. I didn't know if it won that award, but it was nominated for that too. So
I think it was there like for multiple years, I think. I know one game got multiple years most anticipated. We're making fun of it, but yeah,
interesting.
I'm curious. The last two, I feel like it's there's no lie. I mean, who knows what Alan Wake does? But you know, but yeah, maybe. I think Starfield is going to be there because they need to have a Microsoft representation. They want Phil Spencer.
They do want it to be there, but it will not win that award. It's definitely not going to be Game of the Year. I mean, we know that for a fact. But we'll see what happens.
they want Todd Howard and his hair.
I mean, if I'm honest, I think the Game of the Year is either going to be Zelda or Mario, because it just, I mean, I could be wrong, but I kind of feel like with Jeff Keighley, like you said, there will be riots if the game is not nominated, but I think one of those games is going to win, because as much as Spider-Man 2 was good, I thought God of War Ragnarok was great last year, and that didn't win Game of the Year, so, I don't think Spider-Man 2 is going to win it either, so, but we'll see.
Yeah. And also, Jolly Yellow asks which one we would get Game of the Year to. We won't answer that because we're going to have a show at the end of the year, which is the end of year special where we discuss our Game of the Year. So make sure to stay tuned that at the end of the year in December, and we'll go over our Throwdowns Game of the Year. Hopefully, Manny will have played Spider-Man by then.
at least have played maybe two of the things to be able to have at least some sort of vote. Well, no, that would mean I'd pay three games this year, right? So it'd have been Hi-Fi Rush, possibly Alan Wake, and Spider-Man.
Oh,
yeah, there you go.
Mm.
All right, let's we have one more question, and what I'll say is we won't answer it. I'll ask it though, and you guys will know why. Oh, before that, Barry Byrne says Jeff Keighley nominates any Hideo Kojima game and leaves the room. Then he puts on a fake mustache and re-enters the room and nominates another Kojima.
How much do you want to bet that Death Stranding 2 is going to get nominated for Big Game of the Year?
Oh yeah.
Or
they'll give
Kojima another Lifetime Achievement Award, so they don't need to give him, you know, they. So he doesn't win like Game of the Year.
It will be most anticipated. It'll probably be on that list.
Yeah, it'll be most anticipated game of the year.
Oh yeah.
He just makes up awards for Kojima to have, so. Just so he can give him those cool statues.
So I'll, like I mentioned, Keisha, this is by Keisha, by the way. I'll ask the question, but we won't answer it. He asks, have you guys ever seen or interacted with the Gamergate people? Do you guys see these people as ridiculous and sad as I do? And I would say they're just as bad as Flat Earthers. Well, you know, we won't answer that because, you know, it takes us down a rabbit hole that I feel like a lot of us don't want to get to. But yeah.
There it is.
There it is. That's the question. We read the question out. But yeah, Manny, that's the last question.
Yep, that's it. Today. I mean, well, you know. Yeah, so thanks a lot, guys. Whoa, what's up?
I was going to say I did have a question, a really quick question. And I don't really know if, I know, Manny, you may not be able to answer this question, but I do want to call this out because this is something that will probably have to be discussed in the future. Our very good friend, Mr. Torrance Davis, made a post the other day. Maybe you guys know what I'm talking about in reference to Spider-Man, where he gave his hot take and said Spider-Man 2 looks like a PS4 game. So I wanted to ask you guys, do you agree with that? Do you feel as though this game has enough about it that makes it feel like it's a PS5 title? Or do you think that Torrance has a point that this is just a really good looking PS4 title?
To be honest, the thing about it is, like, even on PS4, that Spider-Man game looked, the original Spider-Man game looked really good. So it's like a weird bar, you know, because it's already a really good looking game on the previous console. So, I mean, how much more could it go, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
You're Rich. Where did Torrance post this? Because he's not on Twitter anymore, is he?
Oh, no, this was on Facebook. And then somebody, they were sharing it in the chats and stuff like that. I laughed when I saw it because hip hop and him went back and forth.
Oh, I bet they did.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, to answer the question, this is the, to answer the question, I feel like it looks really good. It does look, I feel like it does look like a PS5 game. Although I will say this, we still haven't reached the peak. So there will be games in 2 to 3 years from now that are PS5 games that are going to look a lot better than Spider-Man 2. But, but I feel like as far as we've gotten from PS5, this is the best we've gotten. I mean, Cyberpunk, but mostly just on PC.
Mm-hmm.
There hasn't been that many games that have looked better than this.
I mean, the only thing that's like, you know, it's only about a lot of this generation has been about the, you know, reflective surfaces, but like really, like, could you see a Ratchet? I mean, with excluding the fast 8 hard drive speed, could definitely see a game that looks fairly close to what Ratchet and Clank looks like on the on the last thing, you know. On the most recent game, what is the sort of defining look of titles? I feel like we're sort of getting into that section that Tony always talks about. Remember during the sort of PS3 era, and he's like, "How could games look any better than this?" You know, or 4 era, yeah. You know. So I don't know, to be honest. Yeah, like there is no doesn't seem to be any sort of like. Just games in general just look good, with the exception of that King Kong game. But somebody is still able to make a piece of trash on these consoles that make really amazing looking graphics. So
shout out to Gollum as well.
Yeah, to Gollum. Yeah, like two pieces of trash somehow managed to get out on a PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. I don't know. To be honest, from looking at it, it just looks like I'm like, you know, I'm not like looking at the new Spider-Man game. I feel like the same sort of feeling from Miles Morales, which again, amazing looking game, no matter what you played it on, PS4 or PlayStation 5. And I feel like with this one too, it feels like more of the same. It doesn't feel like that much of a leap over it. But I wouldn't say it looks exactly like a PlayStation 4 game. If anything, it just looks like a really, really good PlayStation 4 game, you know? But not just like not just regular PS4 game. But, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
It's like a high bar already, you know?
Yeah.
Controversial statement.
Keep in note that I've only seen the Digital Foundry comparisons because I don't plan on buying this game anytime soon. And, yeah, they... Again, the two games look very similar side by side, but again, it's what you expect. You know, you don't go into it expecting like, okay, it's again, it was a PS4, PS5 title, again the remaster, and then the sequel is now PS5 only. So you don't really expect it to be wildly different. You know, you expect it to be like, okay, it's more of the same, but some things refined, some things pushed slightly better. You know, maybe. Ray tracing gets a bump, or maybe some textures here get a bump or something. But again, I'm kind of in agreement with Torrance. Like, I'm not seeing the PS5-ness of it. And it's just kind of like, okay, like, where's the PS5? Again, going back to what we talked about during the start of the gen, it's like, okay, like, let's, like, where's the next gen in this game? I know when people like to point out, okay, the SSD, you get like fly around really fast. It's like, okay, again, I've had an SSD in my PC for years now. Like fast loading times are not impressive to me. That's just what I've been used to. It's like when you guys talked about Monster Hunter and it loading on the PS5 being really fast. It's like, it took like 30 seconds. That's slow. Like I'm used to like Division 2 loading in 10 seconds, you know, so... Like, I'm used to that level of speed, so I'm not seeing it. Granted, that's my perspective, so that's fine. But even then, it's like, they were showing off, like, the ray tracing and saying, okay, ray tracing is good, but then it's only available on certain things and certain modes, and even then, the resolution is still just a bit odd. You know, if you zoom in very, very far in, you can see, like, the blockiness of it all. It's like, okay, fine. No one zooms in that far, but then... Again, I honestly don't see the PS5-ness in this game. Maybe I will when I get it on my PS5, but again, it could be just the videos on YouTube don't do justice, so I don't really have much to talk about here.
I will say this, the thing that I noticed right away between the old Spider-Mans and this one is just the the detail of everything, the buildings, the cars, everything feels like it's just so much more refined. There's a lot more people on the streets than the other one. The other one, there's, you know, a couple of folks. And this one, it feels like really lively. It feels like New York. The ray tracing is also a vast improvement. I don't even, did PS4 have ray tracing on Spider-Man? I don't remember.
No, it doesn't. It only had screen space.
Mm. So the ray tracing is another one. You know, Brian mentioned the SSD stuff. But just as far as the visuals and the performance, I feel like it's a jump. I'm not saying it's the biggest jump, because there's a lot of similarities, and obviously when you're going from from Spider-Man to Miles Morales to this one in a span of what, 5 years, you can only go so far. So, you know, if they decided, you know, if they did Spider-Man 2018 and then Spider-Man 2 was the only thing that to come out in 2023 or 2024, then maybe I would have expected a significantly different looking game. But, you know, when you're releasing three games in a span of 5 years, granted one of them is a DLC game, I don't expect Insomniac to drastically change the game to look a certain way. Feels like it's something completely different. And again, you know, we still need to see what game PlayStation has that's gonna, because God of War Ragnarok was in the game. You know, that's going to showcase the PS5. Ratchet and Clank did it a little bit, but, you know, we all can agree it kind of looked like a PS4 game, just slightly better. But we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. And yeah, that's it, guys. This was a great thought on your questions. I want to thank Richard Bailey Jr. for joining us for this wonderful throw downing of your questions. Make sure to like and subscribe, and don't forget to hit all of our wonderful links below. And I was your host for today, and I was joined by Carlos Romero.
Yo, make sure to catch on to I Am Negan on the Coalition. I Am Negan, Walking Dead, Fear the Walking Dead. We didn't like the episode, but no, make sure to check us out.
Brian Majoma.
Bye, guys.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
And, of course, Mr. Richard Bailey Jr. again.
who we'll see on Thursday again.
Yes. So he'll be joining us for the following episode for all those crazy things that are going to be happening this week. We don't know what's going on. But anyway, we'll see you later, guys.
Peace. Later.